Hi, this is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me as we continue to explore the music of tenor saxophone giant John Coltrane. In our first episode, we followed Coltrane from his beginnings up through his landmark recording in 1959, Giant Steps. In this, our second and final episode, we'll pick up in 1960, when John Coltrane was experimenting with a group of musicians who had been helping to expand the possibilities in jazz through their work with saxophonist Ornette Coleman. Even though this was recorded in 1960, it wasn't released until 1966, after Coltrane had gained more popularity. Here, Coltrane is heard playing the soprano saxophone for the first time on a studio recording. Coltrane, along with trumpeter Don Cherry, bassist Charlie Hayden, and drummer Ed Blackwell, are playing a composition by Ornette Coleman from an album called The Avant-Garde. This is The Blessing. In 1960, John Coltrane's quartet consisted of Steve Kuhn on piano, Steve Davis on bass, and Pete LaRocca or Billy Higgins on drums. Coltrane eventually hired a pianist from his hometown of Philadelphia by the name of McCoy Tyner, and later, Pontiac drummer Elvin Jones joined the band. The first recording with Tyner, Jones, and bassist Steve Davis was a session that produced two albums, My Favorite Things and Coltrane Jazz. For My Favorite Things, this is George Gershwin's composition, Summertime. In 1961, John Coltrane began recording for Impulse Records, and over the next 6 years, he would record more than 30 albums for this label. The first album was called Africa Brass. It featured Eric Dolphy on alto sax, flute, and bass clarinet, as well as McCoy Tyner and Elvin Jones. There were also three different bassists, Paul Chambers, Art Davis, and Reggie Workman. Africa Brass included additional brass and woodwind instruments in a modified big band configuration, with orchestrations by McCoy Tyner and Eric Dolphy. Let's hear Song of the Underground Railroad. In late 1961, Coltrane recorded live at the famous Village Vanguard Club in New York City. Featured Eric Dolphy, McCoy Tyner, Roy Haynes, and Elvin Jones on drums, and sometimes bassist Jimmy Garrison and Reggie Workman playing bass simultaneously. Let's hear some of Coltrane's composition, India. April 1962, Coltrane's now classic quartet was solidified as they recorded their first album together. This quartet would remain as the core of Coltrane's recordings for the next 3 years. Now, Coltrane, McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Garrison, and Elvin Jones played with relentless energy as they created moments of tension and release and a spiritual quality that produced a euphoria for the band and its listeners. From the album called Coltrane, this is Miles Mode.
They say that falling in love is wonderful.
Besides his more adventurous albums, Coltrane also released three recordings during 1962 and 63 that showed his gentler side, including one with the legendary Duke Ellington, one called Ballads, and this most beautiful album with the quartet and the baritone voice of Johnny Hartman. This is They Say It's Wonderful.
The thing that's known as romance is wonderful. So wonderful. tell me. I can't recall who said it. I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand and if there's a moon up above, it's wonderful. They say,
in 1964, the quartet seemed to hit its stride. They released an album from a live recording at the famed New York City club Birdland, and then returned to Rudy Van Gelder's studio in New Jersey to record Crescent. Coltrane had recorded there many times with Miles Davis and continued to as a leader, but it was in December of that year that Coltrane and the quartet would record a masterpiece. In December of 1964, John Coltrane recorded A Love Supreme. This four-part suite was broken up into tracks titled Acknowledgement, Resolution, Pursuance, and Psalm. For Coltrane, this was a declaration that his music was now interwoven into his faith in God. Coltrane had experienced a spiritual awakening years earlier after battling personal problems and drug addiction, and A Love Supreme was his musical offering to God. And during the preceding months, the band had attained a level of communication and a sort of spiritual awareness through the music that they were able to collectively bring Coltrane's vision to life. The 33-minute suite is often regarded as one of the greatest albums of all time. Coltrane said, "My music is the spiritual expression of what I am, my faith, my knowledge, my being." Here is Coltrane with McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Garrison, and Elva Jones with part one of A Love Supreme. This is Acknowledgement. Coltrane continued on his spiritual journey as he experimented more with freer forms and various instrumentations to create new textures. We hear Coltrane in a duet with drummer Elvin Jones from a song that appeared on the albums Kulu Se Mama and Transition. Coltrane said that striving to reach new levels spiritually and musically required vigilance. So this tune is called Vigil. Coltrane continued reaching for new heights and added Donald Garrett on bass and bass clarinet, and tenor man Pharoah Sanders, who added another spiritual dimension to the music. This adventurous recording was done at the Penthouse in Seattle, Washington, September of 1965. From the album Live in Seattle, this is Out of This World. Soon after, the album Meditations was recorded along with Pharoah Sanders once again and the addition of drummer Rashid Ali. This was the last time McCoy and Elvin would record with Coltrane, as they were dissatisfied with the direction of the music. But Coltrane continued to follow where the music was taking him. In May of 1966, Coltrane returned to the Village Vanguard with a new sextet. It now featured his second wife, Alice, on piano, Pharoah Sanders, Jimmy Garrison, Rashid Ali on drums, and percussionist Emmanuel Rahim. The recording, titled Live at the Village Vanguard Again, includes this song Coltrane actually wrote for his first wife, entitled Naima. Coltrane went on to record his final studio albums called Stellar Regions, Expression, and this one called Interstellar Space. The entire album is a duet with drummer Rashid Ali. This duo format allows Coltrane to play without any boundaries and is a prime example of his free jazz period here late in his career. Let's hear a bit of the tune Mars. Coltrane's final live recording was from a concert at the Olatunji Center of African Culture in New York City in April of 1967, and he passed away shortly after in July. In our last two episodes of Jazz Currents, we celebrated the life and music of tenor saxophone giant John Coltrane. During his relatively short recording career as a leader from 1957 to 67, John Coltrane produced a catalog of over 60 live and studio recordings. Coltrane is revered not only as one of the most widely imitated saxophonists of all time, but he represents a spiritual compass for many musicians who strive to continue on with Coltrane's quest for musical, personal, and spiritual development. Coltrane always said that he just wanted to be a force for good. I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events. And make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.